Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you so much for the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Now, Father, we ask today as our pastor comes that you would anoint him for the task ahead of preaching the word of God to us. Using this morning, help him to be a help to us. Help us not to be just hearers today, but doers of thy word. God, work in our hearts. Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know for sure they have eternal life in heaven, that today they would have their sins forgiven by trusting Jesus and know they have a home in heaven. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to make sure all your electronic devices are on vibrate or off so they won't go off during the service now. I'm also going to ask now that you sit very still and listen carefully, please, if you would. Last week, we talked to you about this thing of God testing his children, God testing us. And the word that's used in the Bible is the word temptation. And I got to thinking maybe we should make it a little more clear about the difference between God's testing and Satan's temptation. So this morning, I want to talk to you about Satan's temptation. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, people. 6,000 years ago, Adam and Eve, two perfect people who had never sinned before, never saw sin, were living in a perfect place, the Garden of Eden. They would have lived there forever. They had one rule. One rule. One thing that they could not do, let's put it that way. One thing. Could you imagine a society with one law? That's it, one law. And it was basically they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if they did, they would die. God was very clear about what the guidelines were. It didn't require lawyers and interpretations. It was very simple. God told Adam, you eat of the fruit of this tree right here. Now, all the other trees you can have and eat of them if you like, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this one tree, you eat of the fruit of that tree, and you will die. One rule, one law. Perfect people, perfect place, had never seen sin, did not know what sin was. Satan comes in the form of a serpent, and he talks with them. And in less than a few moments, he doesn't make them sin. Boy, the devil made them. No, the devil didn't make them do anything. He influenced them. And by his temptation, he convinced two perfect people in a perfect place to give up eternity. And sin came. And for now, these 6,000 years that human beings have walked this earth, we have had sin and suffering. Not just because of Adam and Eve, by the way. Every one of us had our opportunities. We were born into this world with a sin nature, but perfect. And we also made our choices.
And Satan for 6,000 years has been selling the same bill of goods. Listen. He's very smart, but he's also smart enough to not have to use new techniques and methods. He's been using the same form of temptation and the same format for temptation to sin for 6,000 years. We just read from Matthew chapter 4. What you do is you go from Adam and Eve and you jump forward 4,000 years and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is tempted by the devil. Satan himself comes and makes a personal visit to tempt Jesus. And the format of Satan's temptation 4,000 years later had not changed. And he has the audacity to tempt Jesus Christ to try to get him to sin. Only in this case, Jesus won and the devil lost. But Jesus did not resist the temptation as the Son of God with power and deity. Jesus resisted Satan's temptation in the human form. The Bible would say later on, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. But when he did something in his human body, he did it as a person, as a human being. And his resisting of Satan's temptation is the real key to all this stuff about Satan and his working. Now, dear people, listen to me. Satan lost here. Jesus won. Now, most of us are going to be tempted by the devil indirectly, by his program, his system of the world that's out there. Most of us are not going to have a direct frontal attack by Satan himself. It'll be demonic activity of some kind or just the system of the world that Satan operates in which we live. You're going to leave church today and you're going to go back out into the world. Hopefully in the world, but not of the world. But he's going to mess with you today before the day's over in some way. And you and I are going to have to make choices, and the choices that we make will either determine whether or not we resist Satan's temptation and we do not sin, or we'll fall just as they've been falling for centuries now. Now, I want us to notice some things. I want you to keep your Bibles open very carefully as we go through Matthew chapter 4 today. I want you to notice that in three different times in these verses, Satan puts a question up here. The word if is used in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 9. If you're the Son of God, and he tries to put a doubt in Jesus' mind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Satan is a master at confusion and doubt. He tries to put a doubt in your mind about what God says. When he came to Adam and Eve, and they had been told, you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. He said, now, let me ask you a question. Hath God said, he came with a question. He always tries to put a question in our minds where God puts a period. See, look at here. God deals in certainty and in clarity. Satan deals with doubt and confusion. Well, I just don't know. How come there's so many religions? What's this all about? But everybody interprets the Bible differently. Oh, they interpret it differently, but the Bible is clear. It's not about a confusion about interpretation. It's about Satan saying, yeah, but see, now that's what one church says. And then this church says this, and then it's Satan coming and putting a question in people's minds. When God does not leave us with questions, God leaves us with certainties. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to have a know-so kind of belief and a know-so certainty in our lives. Satan always leaves a question. Satan always offers a deal. He's Mr. Original Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. If you're the Son of God, let's make a deal. You're hungry? Here's stones. You could turn them into bread. Go ahead. If you're really the Son of God, it takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. He says, you know what you can do, don't you? You can throw yourself off. Because doesn't the Bible say, let's make a deal. You jump off here and the angels are supposed to come and catch you. Let's see it happen. Come on, let's make a deal. And the last frontal assault is he gets Jesus up on a mountain and he says, okay, I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world. And by the way, he's not deceiving the Lord. Those kingdoms Satan showed Jesus on that mountaintop were the devil's to offer him. Those kingdoms of the world belong to the devil. Don't ever get infatuated with people who live the popularity of the world. To get 200,000 people to show up in Berlin to see him make a speech, the devil can give you anything you want. He will trade. Listen to me. He'll give you whatever. You want the paparazzi, you want the red carpet, you want the limos, you want the Oscar, you want the Emmy, you want the this, you want the that. He'll give you whatever you want. That's not a big deal. But he never gives you something for free. It's let's make a deal. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms. He's always giving someone a deal. So he puts questions in people's minds. He always offers them a deal. And then what happens is, he always attacks in three ways. You'll notice there are three temptations here in Matthew chapter 4. Three times, Satan directly goes at Jesus Christ. Three times. He attacks him physically, he attacks him mentally, and he attacks him spiritually. See, the first one, Jesus has not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what do you think is the first thing on Jesus' mind? We're hungry. We're hoping right now I'm done in 3 minutes so we can get the hometown buffet. It's amazing how hungry, how sleepy, and how tired we get in church. Unbelievable, isn't it? Listen to me, people. You go out of the driveway of this church, you better keep moving. There are people on their way to lunch, and you better not get in the way. Don't stand in a doorway and fellowship. You go stand in a corner somewhere. These people are going to go eat somewhere. Can you imagine going 40 days and 40 nights without something to eat? What do you think is the first thing is on Jesus' mind? What does Satan do? He comes and he attacks Jesus with a temptation to his physical body. If you're really the Son of God, look, there's a rock right there. You could turn it into a loaf of bread. Go ahead. And you see a pattern here? He matches his temptation to what he knew Jesus' greatest desire would be. Oh, he's smart, this devil. That's why he watches your life, to see what you become infatuated with. And then he matches that temptation to your desire, what you want, what you're looking for, what it is you desire in life, and he'll match that temptation to that desire. We're giving him ammunition, dear people. You're giving him format for temptation in your life. He'll come at you physically. Then the next thing you see, he comes to Jesus and takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple. And now he's going to go after Christ mentally. He's going to tempt him. And he's going to say, well, let's do up here. We're at the pinnacle of the temple. And look at Matthew chapter 4 there now. Go down to verse number 5. The devil taking them up in the holy city and setting them on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written. Look, he quotes scripture. Masterful. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's in Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 and 12. He quotes it incorrectly, by the way, but he's still trying to quote the scriptures. What is he doing here? His temptation to Christ is to come after the mind. He's trying to get Jesus in a reasoning contest with him. Let's just reason this thing out here. Now, the Bible says, see, Jesus could not break a bone in his body. Old Testament prophecy. Christ could not have a bone broken, and he never would. Even with all the suffering of Calvary and everything else, not a bone in his body would be broken because the lamb could not be offered perfectly with broken bones. So Jesus would endure all he endured, but he couldn't break a bone. So he knew, Satan knew, if Jesus jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, angels would have to catch him to keep him from breaking a bone to disqualify himself. But the devil said, let's just check this out. What do you say? Let's just find out if the Bible is really true on this thing or not. You can't get in a reasoning war with Satan. Some of us think, you know, that devil's not going to trick me. You've got to be kidding me. People, he's been chewing up folks a lot smarter than you and I, and the collective wisdom of everybody in this room for thousands of years been chewing people's lives up because they thought they could outsmart the devil. Well, I could do this, but you see, I'm not going to get caught. Oh, yes, you will, because he's smarter than you. He comes after somebody. He comes after the way we think today. All this stuff, look at me, people. All this stuff that goes on today in that system of the world out there with Satan, he's just trying to condition the mind of the child of God to think the way he wants you to think. If he can get you to think like him, then he can get you to live the way he wants you to. So he comes after the mind. Then, unbelievable, look at verse 8. Again, the devil taking them up into an exceeding high mountain, showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Whoa. Can you imagine the boldness of Satan to tell, ask Jesus to get down on his knees and worship the devil? Unbelievable, isn't it? Now his temptation is to go after Christ spiritually. Those kingdoms of the world the devil has that he can afford to give to Christ. Look here, now Jesus is going to come and take those kingdoms himself one day when he returns to this earth. He will set his foot down on this earth and Jesus will take over this world. He will take it over. It will be his. But that's on God's timetable. That's in God's way. That's Jesus doing it the right way. The Satan will offer you the shortcut. You can get it now if you want. You want to be popular and everybody like you? I'll give you that. What's popularity today? Huh? I'll make you a hero in 5 seconds. Everybody in the world will know your name. They'll think you're the greatest person on this planet. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. He offers, the deal is false worship. Don't you think Satan is a master at false worship? Well, you can worship God as you understand him. Well, you can worship God on your own terms. Well, I have my own spirituality. I have my own way of doing things. That's satanic. Look at me. That's satanic. That's the devil telling you you can do it on your own terms. Well, I worship God the way I want to. No, excuse me, friend. That's from the devil. That's worshiping God on your terms instead of God's terms. No. They that worship God must worship God, the Bible said, in spirit and in truth. You have to come to God on his terms, not yours. Now, but this is not Satan tempting somebody. This is Satan tempting the Son of God. And I also want you to notice this too. His temptation here is blatant and obvious. So why is it 60-some percent of Christians today live together before they get married, even when they know the Bible says it's adultery? It's adultery then, it's adultery now. Why don't we see that? That's like a no-brainer. Why don't we figure this thing out here? Why is it we don't have a problem with the obvious, blatant moral sins of our society? I'm talking about Christians now. Never mind what the world does. I'm talking about the child of God. Because Satan is a master at coming to us and saying, yeah, but it's not wrong to lie. Yes, it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to cheat. It's wrong to take something that's not yours. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to do these things. Why can't we just step back and say, wait a minute, that's wrong. Something's wrong here. No, because Satan is selling an obvious bill of goods to people, and he's done it through a spiritual vein. Now, that's how he's done it then. If you check Adam and Eve's temptation, she saw the tree was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Same format, physical, mental, spiritual. Same one with Adam and Eve 6,000 years ago. Same one with Jesus 4,000 years later and 2,000 years ago. And this morning, dear people, across this nation, in this room and in your home and on the streets of our own cities, same attack. Physical, mental, spiritual. Now, here's the key to the whole thing. Jesus shot him down on all three fronts. How does he do it? Number one, he does it by using the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. You don't get in a shouting contest with the devil. Years ago in the jail, I was preaching there in one of the services, and there was a, I hope he's not here this morning. There was a guy there, Evangelist Dowell Dean Stevens, in jail, prisoner. And he said, I just want you to know that I'm here as a consequence of the persecution for my faith. I said, whoa, I didn't know we're arresting people for being Christians in Reading. I said, what happened? He said, well, I was falsely accused. And one of the guys in the cellmate said, no, he didn't falsely accused. He's in here for rape. I said, Well, since he brought it up, I figured we better straighten this out. I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, what happened was I was at my girlfriend's house. I was living there. And he said, I was casting the devils out of the house. And I started in the closet, which is where I would go. I started in the closet. I went in the closets and I said, Satan, evil spirits and demons be gone in the name of Jesus. Then I went to the bedroom and I began to cleanse the house. And I went out of the property and I cleansed all the demons off the property. And I said, Dow, you missed one. He said, which one? I said, you. What are you doing shacking up with your girlfriend, man? What kind of junk is that? You know what's fascinating, dear people? Satan is selling the same bill of goods all these centuries later, and people are falling for the same stuff. It is written. Doesn't make a difference how much scripture you know and how much scripture you can quote, and don't get in a shouting match with the devil. But you better know enough Bible to know how to take your stand and protect yourself as a child of God. Then it's this. Jesus resisted Satan's temptation. Look at the verse, please. Look at verse number 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus resisted Satan's temptation by the consistency of his life. When Jesus made that statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, he lived that way. That's how he lived his life. He lived his life by the word of God. And he lived his life by the word of God from the time he was a child, raised up by Mary and raised up by his stepfather Joseph, and taught the ways of God. At 12, he could question the lawyers of the law and the scribes and the Pharisees. He could question them and they could question him, and he could give answers, and they marveled at his knowledge of the word of God. He lived what he said. He lived a consistent life. That's how you resist Satan's temptation. Consistent Christian living. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy, give none occasion to the adversary. In other words, you don't give him an opportunity. You know how you give the devil opportunities? You go home on Sunday and you decide whether or not you go back to church on Sunday night. You decide whether or not you're going to do what the Bible says. You decide whether or not it's convenient. And you live by convenience instead of consistency. And you just leave the door open and Satan steps through. And we give him that opportunity in our life. Job is a classic example. The Bible tells us about the man who was Job, just an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, the Bible says. And Satan came to attack Job, but he could not, because the Bible said there was a hedge of protection around Job. And Satan says, you let me have him. You put that hedge down and I'll make him cuss you to your face. And Job's hedge that protected him was that he was a just and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. The consistency of Job's life was his protection. Look at me, friend. That off, on, out, in, out, hot, cold, start, stop, quit, and do what God wants me to do this week, but not next week and for 6 months. I'm in, I'm out, I start, I stop. That kind of stuff, the devil is just sitting back saying, I can't wait till you're done dancing and I'm going to nail your stinking hide. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Satan had to step back and say, boy, that's true. That's how he lives. The consistency of his life. Go down a few more verses. Second temptation. Jesus' response is verse 7. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what Jesus said right here? He said, I'm God. He didn't say, thou shalt not tempt a man. He said, Jesus, in response to Satan tempting him, said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus said, I'm God. Who do you think you're messing with here? Number two area Jesus resists Satan's temptation is by the truth of his testimony. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful thing about being a child of God, and that is, you know it, God knows it, and so does the devil. It's in Acts chapter 19 this morning. Seven sons of Sceva, they were the front men for Benny Hinn Ministries. They were out casting out devils out of people. And they were professional exorcists, professionals. They're casting devils out of people. They came to this one guy and they said, we adjure you by, who's those people again? Jesus. And who's that other guy who was preaching? Paul. To come out of him. And the man was possessed with demons, looked at those guys, and he said, okay, now Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I don't know who you are. And that one man jumped on those seven exorcists with their white suits and comb-over hairdos and ripped off their clothes, and they ran out of that house embarrassed and naked because they tried to do something that wasn't really theirs. Now, question this morning, who are you? Are you really a child of God? Now, friend, look at me. Are you really a child of God? Are you a saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting only Christ for salvation, child of God? Or are you a religious person? Are you got one of those church lives? You know, I got a church life and I got a personal life and then I got a private life. You don't think the devil knows this? And when we say, boy, you're not supposed to tempt me, I'm a child of God. He goes, yeah, right, you're a child of God, except between 8 and 11 every night when you sit in front of the television set and bring desperate housewives into your home and all that other stuff and bring it in, except for those times, right? Except for your magazines, except for your music, except for your friends, except for where you go and what you do, except for your personal, private life that you think nobody else knows about. Don't you think the devil's wise enough to pick this stuff out and zero in on you? When Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, Satan had to step back and said, he is God. The truth of his testimony, are you a child of God? Can you remember a definite and specific time in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and trusted him for your salvation? And if you are saved this morning, friend, you living up to the calling of a child of God? Because Satan, my friend, Satan has no mercy on counterfeits. Oh, no. They did a test with tigers in India. They tied a lamb to a stake, and next to that lamb, they put a picture of a lamb on a stake. And they watched. And the tiger came out of the jungle. He walked over and he looked at the picture, took one sniff, and stepped over and devoured that lamb in 3 seconds. Because you see, the roaring lion, the tiger, knows the difference between genuine and authentic. See, that stuff we're doing, where we're playing church and messing around with Christianity, don't you understand? Not only is it hypocrisy, and not only does it disgrace the name of Jesus Christ, Satan is saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're making it so much easier on me just to pick you off at my choice. The consistency of his life, the truth of his testimony. You know how else Jesus resisted temptation? Go down one more passage here. Look at verse number 10, and Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus resisted Satan's temptation with the depth of his devotion. Did you notice the balance of it? Look at it. Worship and serve. See it? Inner life, outer life. Well, I'll tell you what we need, Pastor Johnson. We need to really concentrate on that worship and inner life. We do, but you need to serve God too. You need the balance of the two in your life and the depth of Jesus' devotion to Jesus, to the Word of God and to His Heavenly Father made Satan step back for the third time and say, boy, that's also true. But come on, folks, look at me. Don't you think Satan knows the difference between lip-type service love and a real love that shows itself by actions that are committed to the Lord and what we do? I love the Lord, Pastor Johnson. Thank you. That's a good statement. Now then, does your life prove it? So you say you love the Lord today. Wonderful. Now, tomorrow, does your life prove that you love the Lord? See, that's the whole thing. See, that lady right over there sitting on that end in that brown and flower dress, that beautiful babe right there on the end, second row, left, blonde right there. I love that lady. I'm crazy about that woman. She drives me crazy too, but I'm crazy about that woman. That's the key of being married, seriously. And that's why they outlive us. They drive us crazy until we drop dead and they get the insurance. That's what it's all about. I know that. But I love that lady right there. Now, how seriously, how much would it really, but people say, but Pastor Johnson, I saw you with another woman yesterday. You were with a different woman than that woman right there. Yeah, but don't worry, I love her. I mean, that's all that matters is I love her, right? I mean, whether I'm with her or not, that's not really the important thing. The important thing is I love her. I state my love to my wife. Now, if I don't back it up by what I do, she should know I love her because I told her. And I said in church, too. On recording, and it goes out on the web. Get to church, you bunch of heathens. Never mind. Can amen from you folks who got to church this morning, for them heathens out there watching it. Some folks are sick and they watch at home. Others, we got to deal with that. But the truth of the matter is, So what difference does it make how much I tell her I love her if I don't show her by what I do? Worship and service. See, you worship him. That's the evidence of the inner love you have for God. Your service, doing something for God. Never mind the Rotarians. Why do these guys get all our time? What about God and what God wants us to do? Hey, how about showing him how much we love him? That made the devil step back for the third time. And then if I check it right, it says in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. Hey, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're not supposed to be running from the devil. He is supposed to be running from us. And it says, and the angels came and ministered unto him. God sent angelic messengers to come and encourage Christ in this hour of his need. And God lifted and strengthened him. Worked 2,000 years ago. It still works. We either stand or we fall. Not by the strength of our character and our determination. The devil's way too smart. He will take you out, my friend. However, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And yes, we can too do what God wants us to do. And yes, we can too say no to Satan's temptations. And yes, we can too, having done all, to stand, the Bible says. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning.